Please look again with me where we were a moment ago in first chapter of Matthew. And I just want to point out two verses tonight. I won't be long. We'll be on our way before 8 o'clock, so you just listen carefully tonight. Matthew chapter 1, we read two verses, and in both of these verses, there's one word that is exalted, highlighted, magnified. It's in verse 21, and it's in verse 25. Can you guess what word it is? You're right. It's capitalized, so that makes it easy. Look at it again. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. All caps, emphasis. It's Jesus. And the same way the Jehovah is capitalized in the Old Testament, Jesus here is capitalized at the beginning of the New Testament. Then again in verse 25, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Capital J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. And that's what today is all about. It's all about Jesus. And thank God for Jesus. What would we do without the Lord Jesus Christ? So tonight, please listen carefully as I just talk about our Savior, my friend, the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I pray that we would just be encouraged tonight as we preach on Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word. Thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for not just the written Word of God, but we thank you for the living Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But then He became man. He dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Lord, we are able to be saved tonight. If we're not saved, we're able to be saved by our faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, if we are saved, if we put our faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, then we have been given an eternal salvation, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Tonight, we pray that you bless our time as we just magnify the birthday boy, as we magnify the one whom all the world will one day bow before and profess that he is Lord. Some willingly, as they're casting out of darkness, or some not willingly as they're casting out of darkness, and then those of us who will see him at the Bema seat will fall down before him and give any rewards that we may earn right back to him, Lord, because it's all because of him. And Lord, we do pray that you'd bless our time in your word tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 talk about how Jesus' name is exalted above every other name. It's a name that is different. It's a name that has power to it. And Jesus is the answer. I want to try this evening to take you through a few events in the life of Christ and just magnify who Jesus is, what he's capable of doing, and how we ought to admire him, worship him, and trust him. Jesus was invited to a wedding. And at this wedding, there were more guests than expected. The bride and groom had a terrible, unfortunate problem. Whoever was in charge of bringing the food and the beverage, the wine, failed and did not bring enough. And they had ran out of wine, from the fruit of the vine. And the embarrassment that comes with not having enough for your guests when you invited them over was going to ruin their wedding. But there was a man at that wedding named Jesus, and Jesus has all power and all authority, and Jesus told the servants to fill those stone vessels up with water. Just do it. Just fill them up with water. And I'm sure some of them may have questioned. Some of them may not have understood why he was wanting them to do that, but when they poured out the water from those vessels, it was wine. Jesus performed that first recorded miracle of turning the water into wine. He took care of that situation that could have been a big embarrassment. There's a woman in Samaria. She lived an empty life, no meaning. I mean, she had tried to find satisfaction in relationships with different men. She'd been married five times, and then she was with another man who was not her husband. And she was there at the well one day looking for some water. And she met a man there who had an impact on her. Not only an impact on her, but changed her life. She began talking with Jesus. And Jesus began in a real compassionate, but yet to the point, hey, you're living the wrong kind of a life. You're living the wrong way. That can change. And most of you know the story. Jesus ends up telling that woman that, listen, this water, you're going to take a drink of it and you're going to be thirsty in a few hours. But the water that I can give you, you'll never thirst again. If you drink of the water that I offer, you'll never be the same. And that woman, by faith, drank of that water. She took of Jesus. She ran back to the city and told those there what Jesus had done, how he knew everything, how he could tell her whole life story. And she said, he's got to be the one. He's got to be the Messiah. Jesus changed that Samaritan woman's life and made a difference. There was a nobleman who had a son who was deathly sick. I mean, there's nothing more heartbreaking than a sick, dying child. And here this nobleman was heartbroken and burdened as his son lay a-dying. The doctors could do nothing more for him. They just told him, well, you're just going to have to wait it out. And he doesn't have very much longer. But a man named Jesus came to town. And Jesus had done, this man had heard of Jesus and how he had done great things. But could he heal his son? Jesus ends up healing this nobleman's son. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I've never gotten over that. My mom used to sing it to me every night before I went to bed. Never gotten over the fact that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves the world, and Jesus has compassion on the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus had a compassion on a man that was crippled. You see, this man was at the pool of Bethesda. There was no one there to help him. He had a dim future. For 38 years, he was in this condition. But a man named Jesus enters the picture one day and makes a drastic change in this man's life. You see, this man had no one to help him get him into the water after the waters were stirred. An angel would come down, stir the waters. The first person in was miraculously healed. And this man was there year after year after year, but never could get into the water before someone else. But Jesus came one day, and Jesus, out of compassion, heals this man. Rise up and walk. It makes a drastic change in this man. I think of a woman who was taken in adultery. In the very act, the Bible says, some of the hypocrites there wanted to stone her. And according to Old Testament law, she should have been stoned, but not just her. The man should have been stoned as well. But yet they didn't think about that. They were just focused on the woman. And she's there. She's embarrassed. She's frightened. Could this be her last day? Could there be this be her last hours? I mean, there's no chance even given to her to plead her case. There's no chance given to her to say goodbye to her family. She's taken from the very act, brought before the council, and they want to sentence her to death by stoning. But a man named Jesus steps in and says, hey, that is without sin can cast the first stone. And they all walked away in shame because of conviction. But Jesus intervened in that case. He forgives this woman. He warns her to go and to sin no more. And he makes a difference in this woman that only eternity will reveal. There's a blind man that can't see. Jesus decides that he's going to bring healing to this man's eyes. Well, how is he going to do it? Is he going to do it with some special ointment? Is he going to do it with some special medicine? Is he going to just put his hands over his eyes and heal him? But no, Jesus does something a little bit different than that. He spits in the ground, makes a little bit of mud with his saliva, puts that on the man's eyes, tells him to go wash it off. And that man comes up out of that water and is able to see. Jesus restores his sight. This man who never was able to see the sunshine can see the sunset now. This man who never saw the rainbow after it rained saw the rainbow. This man who had never seen the blue sky and the markings of nature, he never seen the flowers, the birds, and the beauty of the stars at night. Now this man can see. Jesus made a big difference in that blind man's life. There are two sisters that are weeping at the tomb. Their brother has died. They're upset. They had called for Jesus, but he didn't come right away. And they were upset about that. Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But as these two sisters wept by the tomb, Jesus performs one of the great miracles of all miracles. A man had been dead for 4 days, been buried or put in a tomb. Jesus walks up to that tomb and says, Lazarus, come forth. And out jumping in mummy clothing comes Lazarus, leaping and praising God. A man named Jesus turned their sorrow into joy. Jesus can make a difference. When we're going through sorrow and pain and agony, when we're just trying to get through the day, Jesus can step in and change our darkness to light. He can bring joy out of mourning. Jesus made the difference in Martha and Mary's life that day when he revived Lazarus. I think about the leper. I mean, the lepers had really a tough life to live. I mean, besides the disease. The disease was bad enough and painful enough. But because of that disease, they had to be separated from their family. They had to be put in their own separate colony. They had to be isolated. They lived in this colony, and it was like a sentence of death. It was like being put in a prison on death row. There was no hope for them. But I can imagine the lepers being pulled away from their family or having to leave home, acquiring that leprosy, having to leave family and go live in another community colony. It's never easy when you have to say goodbye to family. I mean, I can remember when Gabby was going to school for the first day. That was tough. I remember crying when she was going to school for the first day. She was leaving home to go to school, and to see her after she left, and to see her walk down the entranceway, the hallway to the front door of the school, and just to see her walking down there, jumping, or you know, walking with a pep in her step, and her little book bag going up and down. And I remember that like it was yesterday, and I remember tears coming down my eyes as to think that my little girl's going to school now, and it was worse. It was even worse when we drove her to college years ago. It's hard to say goodbye to family. It's hard whenever you lose a lost loved one. Though they were not dead, it was almost like they were dead. They had to leave home. Can you imagine a leper's son saying, "Daddy, where are you going? Daddy, why are you leaving? Daddy, please don't go. We need you here. Stay here, Daddy. Don't go." But Daddy had to go. Daddy wasn't allowed to stay home. And that's hard. That's a hard separation that these lepers had to face, with the real possibility that he would never hold his family again, he would never be able to give his wife a kiss, a hug, and that there would never be a family reunion while he was still yet alive. But Jesus had compassion on those people that no one else would have compassion. Those lepers had to carry a stick, and they had to say, "Unclean, unclean." They were not allowed within a certain amount of space, feet from people, and they had to stay away from groups of people. Jesus comes and says, "Reach out your hand. Reach out your hand." Jesus grabs the hand of a leper. The compassion that Jesus had, the power that Jesus had, this perfect, sinless Son of God, what a difference he made in the leper. And listen, folks, leprosy is just a picture of sin, and Jesus has done the same thing for us spiritually. Spiritually, we were separated from God. Spiritually, we had no hope. Spiritually, we had no future. But Jesus one day reached out and said, "Grab my hand." And spiritually, we are cleansed and made whole, just like the leper was that day when Jesus healed him. Oh, Jesus is so amazing. Do you love him tonight? Are you thankful for him? Oh, I love the song, "Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He's my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. None other can cheer me so. Jesus makes a difference." Amen. How about the maniac of the Gadarenes? Possessed, crazy, lunatic. Men had tried to reform him. Men have tried to contain him. I would imagine it would be today they would send someone like him off to these different kind of shock schools or these rehab centers, these scared straight programs to try to get him right, or maybe they would provide a place for him to have his daily routine of drugs. And but you know, the world has no solution to those who are demonically oppressed. They have no help for them. There's nothing that they have to offer that can change their life. But Jesus one day came. Jesus one day healed this man and cast out those demons. The Bible says after he met Jesus, he was in his right mind. He was clothed now. No longer running around naked in the cemeteries, but he was in his right mind. He was clothed, no longer lunatic. Jesus made a difference. Has he made a difference in your life? Oh, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, for which long have I sought since Jesus came into my heart. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sing aloud the name till it softly, slowly sets all hearts aflame. There's something special about the name of Jesus. There is a woman with an issue of blood. She has spent all her money on physicians, but she left those doctor's appointments with them scratching their head and saying, well, there's nothing more we can do for you. And for 12 long years, she suffered with this issue of blood. But then, one day, she met the great physician. She met the physician who has the cure for all issues, for all infirmities. And Jesus heals this woman. This woman is healed as she grabs out and reaches onto his garment. He makes a difference in her life. I think of the multitudes of lame people that were healed, the blind, the sick, the maimed, of all ages, of both sexes, whether they were rich or poor, or all who came into the presence of Jesus and had faith in him were healed. And listen, folks, we have just a few samples, because the Bible tells us in John chapter 21 that if all the things that Jesus did were recorded, the worlds could not contain the books of the things that were done. We don't know the full length of everything that Jesus did, all the people that he made a difference in their lives. But there was a woman there who was also possessed in his inner group. Her name was Mary Magdalene. She seemed to have been possessed by 7 demons, but Jesus made a difference in her life. And Jesus makes a difference when you add him to the equation. No matter what the scenario, no matter what the situation, when you add Jesus, Jesus makes the difference. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And Jesus makes a difference. No matter what you're going through, when you hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. When you reach out to him, he makes a difference. Jesus is the answer. What this world needs is not more medication. What this world needs is not more money. What this world needs is not more psychic hotlines or cults. What this world needs is not more entertainment. What this world needs is not self-help books. It does not need more community action groups. It does not need more government programs. What this world needs, what people need is Jesus. They need Jesus. And Jesus is what this book is all about. Jesus is mentioned by name over 943 times in our New Testament. He's magnified above every name. He's mentioned in the first one or two verses of every book in the New Testament except for 3. So 27 books, 24 out of the 27 books of the New Testament, he's mentioned either in the first or second verse. He is the central theme of the Bible. The 7th word into the first book of the New Testament, Matthew. The 7th word in is Jesus. 7 is a number of completion, a number of perfection. And the 7th word into the New Testament, it's Jesus. And then the 7th from the last word, from the last book of the Old Testament, you got it right, it's Jesus. The 7th word in the New Testament, the 7th word from the end of the New Testament, it's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the answer. And 7 is God's number of completion and perfection. And so we know that Jesus is the complete perfection that we need. And he'll make a difference in our lives. Real quickly, I won't give you every single book of the Bible, but Jesus is all throughout the Bible. In the book of Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the manna. He's the star in the book of Numbers. He's the captain of hosts in Joshua. In the book of Samuel, he's a rock of my salvation. In Job, he's a daysman. In Psalms, he's a rock that is higher than I. In Proverbs, he's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Song of Solomon, he's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. valley. In Isaiah, he's a wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God, Everlasting Father. He's the Shepherd of Israel in Ezekiel. He's the Ancient of Days in Daniel. He's the hope of his people in Joel. He's the stronghold of Nahum, and he's the branch of Zechariah. He's a messenger of the covenant in Malachi. And then when we get to the New Testament, we know that he's Emmanuel in the beginning chapter of Matthew. He's the good master and the king of Jews in Mark. He's in the book of Luke, the baby that was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. In John, he's the Word. He's the light. He's the only begotten of the Father. He's the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, the bread of life, the bread of God. He's the I Am, Good Shepherd, the resurrection, the master, the way, the truth, the life, and the vine. And he's so much more, but he's everything. In Acts, he's a Prince of Life and the Just One. In Romans, he's a Deliverer. In Corinthians, he's our Passover and our spiritual rock. In Ephesians, he's our peace and hope of glory. In Timothy, he's our hope and mediator and the judge of the quick and the dead. In Hebrews, he's the captain of our salvation, our high priest, and the author of our eternal salvation. In Peter, he's the chief cornerstone and the living stone. In 1 John, he's the Word of Life and Advocate. And then in Revelation, he's the faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, Alpha and Omega, the Morning Star, the Lamb slain, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and faithful and true witness. And we can go on and on. I just gave you that, not every Bible book, but I give you a lot of them. But he's all throughout the Bible. The whole Word of God is about Jesus. And Jesus makes the difference. Now, real carefully, as we close, I want you to look at me. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with in your life, there is nothing in your life right now that is bigger than Jesus. I don't care what it is. I'm not belittling it. I'm not making it light of it. I've got problems too, but I know they're not bigger than Jesus. No problem is too big for Jesus. Jesus can solve any issue that you may have. I have such and such a problem, you say, Pastor. I'm dealing with this, and it's overwhelming. It's burdensome. Can I tell you what you need to do? Give it a good dose of Jesus. That problem that you're dealing with, give it a good dose of Jesus. Maybe it's a marriage problem. Maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe it's a personal problem. Maybe it's a health problem. Give it a good dose of Jesus. You have a burden. Something that emotionally is just tearing you up and weighing you down. Give it a good dose of Jesus. You have an affliction. Give it a good dose of Jesus. You're going through a test or a trial right now. Give it a good dose of Jesus. Our country is in a mess. It's just about shot, folks. I look at it and I say, wow, I don't know if the Lord can put up with much more. He's been so gracious to us. And we do know that the Bible says in 1 Peter that judgment starts at the house of God. And our country is in a mess because our churches are in a mess. Our churches are lukewarm. We're in the last days. The Laodicean period is a lukewarmness. There's an apostasy. There's a falling away that's taking place. Our country is just about gone. But I still believe that there's nothing wrong with our country that Jesus can't fix. I believe a revival can still happen. I believe that Jesus still can turn this world upside down if he so chooses. There's nothing wrong with a life that Jesus can't fix. We need Jesus to be the preeminence in our church. He needs to be it's all about him. And everything we do is for him. He's the one we worship. He's the one we adore. He's the one we magnify. He's the one we give all honor and respect towards. It's Jesus that deserves 100% of our heart and effort and work. Our church needs to have Jesus as preeminent. But our church is only made up of people. And so as believers, we need to make Jesus preeminent. We need to make our whole lives about Jesus. Because he is the answer. One day, I'm not saying that you should do this, but one day a Christian walked into a public bathroom and he was in the stall. He grabbed out a Sharpie out of his shirt pocket and he wrote on the side of that stall, "Jesus is the answer." Now, I'm not saying it's okay for graffiti. I'm not saying you should, destroy property like that, but he wrote, "Jesus is the answer." Well, several days later, probably weeks later, another guy came in and he saw that Jesus is the answer and he thought that was foolish. And so he tried to be a smart aleck and wrote underneath it, with a pencil, what's the question? What's the question? If you say Jesus is the answer, then what's the question? Several weeks after that, another born-again Christian came in and he sat and went to that same stall and sat down and he saw it said Jesus is the answer, and then he saw underneath it, it said, what is the question? So he pulled out his Sharpie marker and he wrote underneath that, it doesn't matter what the question is, because Jesus is the answer to all the questions. It doesn't matter what the question is. Jesus is the answer to every single question that you may have in your life. Jesus is the answer. And tonight, we've seen throughout the scriptures how Jesus intervened and made a difference in several people's lives because he's the answer. Tonight, whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're fearful about, anxious about, said about, Jesus can make a difference. As that old song said, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Whatever it is tonight that you're working through, bring it to the Lord. Say, Lord, here it is. It's yours. I'm trusting you to do what you know is best. And he'll make a difference. He might not always do it the way we want or when we want, but Jesus never fails. Amen. Jesus always comes through, and Jesus is the answer. So in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 and verse 25, King James translators got it right, and they did it right when they capitalized that name, J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his birth. We thank you for the willingness in eternity past to be that Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He was willing to come and shed his blood so that we could be saved. Lord, there had to be a crib before there could be a cross. We're so thankful that between the crib and the cross, he lived the perfect sinless life. When he died on that cross, he willingly gave up the ghost and said, it is finished. And Lord, he didn't just die, but he was buried, and he rose again 3 days later. Conquered the grave, conquered death. And because he has all power, and he's defeated death and every other problem that precedes man, Jesus can make a difference in our lives if we would just trust him and give it to him. Give him that problem, that burden, that heartache, that issue, that struggle, and let him do his miraculous work. Lord, help us to trust him tonight. We're so thankful for this day where we celebrate his birth. We ask your blessing upon us as we close with a song, and we pray that you would just continue to draw us nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.